with a closer look at the news and events affecting Prince George. Welcome to After 9 on 93.1 CFIS-FM.
And it is a Tuesday morning, a very sunny Tuesday morning, a chilly and sunny Tuesday morning. Howard Wishart in the host chair, Steve on the board. Got a good show lined up, and we're going to get started today with something that, boy, this came together in a hurry. I'm talking with Colleen Van Mook, the executive director of Downtown PG. I think, would it make sense, Colleen, that I got the first email on this Dine Easy on, I think it was Friday?
Well, yes. Yeah. You are number one, Alex.
Uh-oh.
On our hit list, for sure. But yes, you know what? I think we all know. The last year, the saying that I do, that I often use, is that we're building the plane as we're flying it.
Yeah.
And so every time there is a change here at Downtown Prince George, we're always trying to look at how we can ease the pain for our downtown businesses. So in the recent announcement, when the restaurants were again told that only takeout and delivery was going to be on the menu, we were trying to think, you know, how can we help? And there's lots of people out there wanting to support the restaurants. And, of course, yeah, there's the concept of expanding patios and those kinds of things. And those all take time. And when this first got announced, it was still minus whatever. So, lo and behold, I always say that sometimes, you know, things happen for a reason. And there was another local business startup in our community that wanted to offer a new delivery solution.
Okay.
And they really wanted to look at being able to support local, create local. And so the Dine Easy group came to us, and we started talking about how we could work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so really what that meant was we wanted to see if we could get it up and running while these current regulations were in place, not knowing if they would go along longer. We still don't know, mm-hmm, right? So we said, how can we do this? And we thought that Downtown Prince George could look at a way to subsidize delivery from downtown restaurants, mm-hmm, so that people at home, even as far as the Heart and College Heights,
wow,
could experience downtown dining,
mm-hmm,
in their homes, and we would support the delivery. And so here you go. Not only do the customers get a little bit of a bonus,
mm-hmm,
but Dine Easy gets an opportunity to try to work with our downtown restaurants, onboard them to their delivery system. And with that, we're realizing it's taking a little bit of time. So we said we were kicking this off yesterday, and we have. And there's still a few restaurants that have yet to get their information on the website. So we're just saying be patient. And if your favorite restaurant isn't there yet, this is a week-long promotion. And we'll continue to monitor it as well and see if there's an opportunity to continue to support the restaurants and this new great local delivery solution.
Now, let's mention what a lot of people will think is the most important part about what's happening this week with Dine Easy. It's free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, that's really, it's a chance for you to support downtown restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance for you to try a downtown restaurant delivery if you have never done that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a chance to support a local group that's come to town, or they are in town.
Yeah.
They're all people that are wanting to bring this solution into town. And so why not give it a try?
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
So who are the restaurants who are involved?
So right now, our restaurants that are busy getting their menus up on the website are Petula Burning, Nancy O's, Cry King. We have Winston's.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Shogun, Chimo, and the Black Clover and Twisted Cork are working feverishly to get their menus up right now as well.
Wow. So a real nice, and again, it's what people have always said about the restaurant situation in downtown Prince George. There's something for every taste, literally.
Very much so. And, you know, this is something that we wanted to do as a special promotion. Dine Easy is hopefully going to be here to stay. And so we'll ask people to take a look at it over the coming weeks and months, because more restaurants will hopefully look at that opportunity to give them more delivery solutions, more exposure for their restaurants if they continue to have limitations in terms of how they can provide their delicious food in our community.
So, Dainese came to you guys, said, we would like to do something to help. How fast, how easy was it for you to get in touch with the restaurants and say, would you guys be interested in taking part?
Well, you know, that, again, so it, I want to mention to you that it wasn't just a, it was something that just kind of evolved, right? We didn't, I don't even know. We didn't go to them. They didn't come to us. We heard about it. We reached out, and right away, the Dainese group knew this was an opportunity for them. And because they were, there's no doubt about it, they were trying to establish themselves.
Yeah.
And we may have sort of added a little more work onto their plate. And so I think we started talking about it on the Thursday morning before Easter. And by that afternoon, we had a, you know, a one-pager, and we were going out to the restaurants and trying to encourage them to sign up. But it also was right at the same time when the restaurants were trying to reimagine once again on how they were going to make sure they could continue having revenue come in the door. So that's why perhaps it isn't as quick as we would like. But on the other hand, we know that if you wait for the perfect situation, sometimes you just don't do it at all. So we didn't procrastinate. Let's put it that way.
No. And again, the timing to some extent was bad for trying to get something basically brand new going. As you were saying, the Thursday before Easter is when you start to come up with the idea. Yeah. Well, let's see. So the Easter weekend, so that's Good Friday, the weekend, Easter Monday for a lot of places. Restaurants, I mean, most of the restaurants were open in terms of, you know, as open as they could be. But still, trying to get something like this going over that weekend, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to say thank you to the community of Prince George, because you may have noticed, I mean, a lot on the social media, as soon as those regulations were put in place, Prince George got so much behind our restaurants. We, you know, we have the Chamber, we have Support PG, we have Move Up PG. If you follow along, and we know that we have great restaurants downtown, but we know that in our community there are a lot more restaurants. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's during these times that we're really seeing that people want to make sure that these businesses are here to stay.
Yeah.
And so I want to thank Prince George, because I see all the chatter. I see how everybody's trying to do their part and, you know, order from the restaurants, have some delicious food delivered to their front door. So those are the people that are making sure that our community rallies around during these times. And for that, we're grateful. And I guess I also think that the recognition has to go to these entrepreneurs, to these restaurant owners, to the servers, and everyone that's really trying hard to make sure that we have service in whatever way we're allowed to have service. And so in that regard, I'm impressed. And I know that when we come out to the other side of this, that our creative, whatever, our creative instincts hopefully will keep us going.
Because I know you were saying, again, when the new regulations came down, again, that was just before Easter. A lot of people, again, said, okay, we got to support the local restaurants. Well, I know a fair number of people who have been supporting the local restaurants, even if they didn't feel comfortable going into the restaurants even before this. They were ordering food from the local restaurants, so they were doing it that way. But now, again, even more so, and you've got the chance to use a local delivery service.
Definitely. And that's what, I mean, I guess that's the other thing that's interesting, too. In these times, we've seen some new restaurants open. We've seen some new businesses open. That's encouraging, too. People are willing to take that risk. And maybe when they're stepping into these new opportunities, they're doing it with that new lens of how to keep people safe and how to provide a service. Definitely, I know that the idea of being online is not necessarily something that some restaurants were savvy at, and they've had to learn. I'm also grateful that our government has come through with some additional support for these businesses that were very quickly told, like hours.
Yeah.
Guess what? You can't have the business that you thought you were going to have
on the holiday weekend.
On the holiday weekend. So I hope that those businesses will take advantage of that. That what did they call it? Oh my goodness!
There's been so many programs.
Circuit breaker.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because our government was calling the latest regulations the circuit breaker, so they created the circuit breaker grant program. So again, you know. Even though we're reaching out to the citizens of Prince George to support our restaurants and support downtown, any of you restaurants or businesses that are listening, don't forget there are some opportunities to hopefully alleviate some of that pain through the grant program.
Now, after Downtown PG announced the Dine Easy thing, have you, in even just the last couple of days, gotten any other restaurants calling you to say we would be interested in getting on board, maybe not this week, but in the future?
Definitely. Okay. And that is the situation where they're saying, you know, we like the idea. We're just not ready right now.
Yeah.
We got so much that we're trying to keep going. And so we just need a bit more time. So that's encouraging as well. And so, again, we know that there's delivery options out there already, and we know that it's been working. But this, again, is a local solution where hopefully more money stays with the restaurant, so the commissions aren't quite as high as some of the commercial programs that we're familiar with. And my understanding is, as well, is that there's a little more flexibility for the restaurants themselves to be able to manage their menus as part of this program. And right now it is web-based.
Yes.
Eventually there will be an app, but again, all in good time.
Yeah. Well, come on. You guys have had, what, a whole 4 or 5 days to put this together and you don't have the app running yet?
Anyway, that's not my expertise yeah. for sure, but I know that they're working on that as well. So, like I say, this was an opportunity where we talked about it and, you know, we knew that it would take a little bit of effort. We knew that it would take a bit of time, but we didn't want to not try it.
Yeah.
So, again, patience is a virtue, and we will say that be patient to look for those restaurants, but be supportive as best you can. And this is an opportunity that hopefully will stay in our community and give everyone a chance to enjoy dining downtown at home.
And this, it's available. The Dine Easy delivery and everything with these restaurants is available all day, isn't it? Like, if you wanted to order breakfast, you could do it through Dine Easy.
Yes, but it does depend on the hours of the restaurant.
Well, yeah.
So that is another thing. Again, you work through the glitches. So if the restaurant is not open, you'll go on the website and it will say delivery not available at this time.
Okay.
So that's how you'll learn. So it is going to depend on the hours of the restaurant and what their capacity is as well. So that's all. I think it would be fun to have breakfast delivered, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's kind of thing. What's your favorite breakfast, Alan?
Oh, brother.
I mean, brunch from White Goose, brunch from Nancy O's, brunch from Batula.
I'm not sure, because usually if I go, when I've gone to the downtown restaurants, it's usually been for like a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I very seldom have lunch downtown. Usually I have my lunch at home, because I'm at home most of the day.
Yes, that's...
So,
but you know what? Everybody can look for some change. We've had enough change, and we have some positive change. And I think also something to remind people, we are getting to the end of April, and starting in May in downtown Prince George, we will see the two outdoor markets opening up again. And
gee, where is one of those markets? Wait a minute.
Right, it's going to be right across the street from where you are now.
Yes.
So, yes, the Prince George Farmers Market is at 3rd and Quebec.
Yeah.
And then the Wilson Square Market will go back to 3rd and George at the Wilson Square Courthouse. And
okay.
So I think we'll be looking at sort of early May for both of those. And so that's Saturdays.
Yeah.
But I say to Prince George, let's make downtown Saturdays a thing this year, because it's something I think we'll still be able to do.
Yeah.
It's outside. You can wander. And then you can visit some of the other great stores and restaurants that we have downtown that have certainly proven that they're providing a safe atmosphere for people to be in downtown Prince George.
Yeah. What is the website? Because you were saying it's all web-based at this point.
That's right. So it's eat.dineeasy.ca.
And easy is spelled E-A-S-Y. There's no fancy spellings on it.
Well, you got to go dine easy, right? Yeah. So it's D-I-N-E-E-A-S-Y.
Okay. Colleen Van Mook with Downtown PG. Thank you very much for bringing us up to date on Dine Easy with free delivery this week.
That's right. Dine Easy Downtown Week started yesterday. It's good till April 18th, which is this Sunday.
Thank you very much. We will take a quick break and be back with more after 9.
Join me, Michael Big Easy Cast, at the Blues Roadhouse Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. We explore and enjoy the blues from its 12-bar birth in the Mississippi Delta to its recent worldwide renaissance. Not only will we be moved by the music, I will share the histories of the songs and the men and women that, as B.B. King put it, paid their dues, laying down the foundation for our classic rock and modern-day beats. That's the Blues Roadhouse Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on your community radio station, 93.1 CFIS FM.
Once again this year, the Community Volunteer Income Tax Program will be helping local seniors prepare their income tax return. The program runs Tuesdays and Thursdays through the end of April from 9 to 11, is by appointment only. You must be over 55 to qualify for the program and have a simple tax situation. Volunteers do not keep records from year to year, so you must inform them of any deductions or changes on your return. To book an appointment with the Community Volunteer Income Tax Program, call 250-563-6112.
The BC Schizophrenia Society has a brand new podcast series shining a light on the voices of mental illness. Look Again, Mental Illness Reexamined takes a close look at the reality of serious mental illness and the role we can all play in helping those who live with it lead the most productive lives possible. Full details are available through the education link at bcss.org. Look Again, Mental Illness Reexamined, a new podcast series on now through bcss.org.
Forecast from Environment Canada, mainly sunny today, wind coming south 20 this afternoon, a high of 10 with a high UV index. A few clouds tonight with a low of minus 4. For Wednesday, sunny, wind becoming north 20 in the afternoon, a high of 15 with a high UV index.
Thank you for tuning in and staying tuned to After 9 on 93.1 CFIS FM.
Well, the day just went downhill. We're now joined by Reg Fair. Good morning, Reg.
the day went downhill because we have to go on air and admit that at the trade deadline, the Toronto Maple Leafs kicked butt.
Well, from what I've seen on a couple of different websites, it depends on whether you're looking at this year or taking the longer range look, because a lot of people say
no,
Detroit
for sure
kicked butt.
Well, long range. I mean, Steve Yzerman in Detroit is looking long-term to rebuild that franchise. But Toronto is in a position where they believe they can win the Cup this year. And instead of going out and getting...
So 1968, 1970.
Instead of going out and getting Taylor Hall, who would have come in and just screwed up the works...
Probably,
They got a third goaltender...
Yep.
They got a number 7-8 defenseman, and they got a forward who's going to be solid on their third or fourth line. So these are all guys that will prop up what they already have there, sort of almost a guarantee that they've got the mechanisms in place to get the job done. Even if there's an injury or two, right? So they basically built their depth so that they aren't going to be running into a situation where oh no, so and so's hurt. Now we're screwed, right?
Yeah.
So very very good. I mean, they gave up a lot of draft picks and different things like that. But if you're going after the cup, that's what you got to do. You say, okay, well, here's what we need to make sure that we have everything in place. and you do it, because they don't need anyone else on their first two lines.
No,
you know they've got that solid offense, and their defense is not bad overall. So yeah, I think they did as good as any team could.
They traded during the trades. They picked up three goaltenders.
Three goaltenders.
Well,
I knew they got Riddick.
Well, yeah, and they got two other goalies.
The reason is
Anderson, Frederick Anderson, health issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
Anderson's getting along in the tooth and has seen better days, to say the least.
Well, he's seen a lot of rubber.
But right now you're looking at Jack Campbell, who's playing really well.
He lost last night. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, you can't win them. You can't win them all.
Well, he was trying to prove that wrong.
Well, he held the...
He did set a record.
I know.
Well, that's the funny thing is the NHL record for most consecutive wins from the start of a season. I think he's the first backup goaltender to do that because technically he was the backup goaltender, right? That's why it took so long for him to get 11 wins into the season. And the records that he beat were from starting goaltenders. You know,
first 10 games
Felix
of the season,
Potvin had 10. 8.
Yeah.
Carey Price had 9.
Yeah.
And now Campbell has 11.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Price had 10. I thought the...
9, yeah.
Oh, it was 9. There's okay. 9. But again, both those guys, the obvious starter, were not getting a lot of nights off in those 9 or 10 games, right?
One thing I would just like to talk about, as long as we're talking about hockey, is local.
Oh, yeah.
Great night last night for the two junior teams.
Well, I think both of them look good this season so far. Cougars, they're both just above the 500, is that correct?
Cougars just got over 500 with the win last night, and the Spruce Kings, I believe, on points are right at 500. I think they've played 6 games, and they've got 6 points.
But they're playing solidly. They're not getting blown out. Yeah. It looks like in the Chilliwack pod, it'll come down to the Spruce Kings and Chilliwack as to who's going to be first. Yeah. So far, Chilliwack has 2 wins. Prince George has 1 win in head-to-head competition. Yeah. So, and Merritt, well, Merritt has 1 win. Yeah. So they're hoping they can chip away and get maybe 2 or 3 by the end of the season.
Yeah. But the Cougars last night, it was basically a tale of 2 players.
Okay.
Turner is Craig Anderson, got 4 goals.
Oh, okay.
They won 4-1, and that was Taylor Gauthier's first win of the season.
Right.
Because the other fellow, whose name has now escaped me, had been playing most of the games, but he has now gone to join the Canadian under-18 team at the IIHF Championships down in Texas.
Yes.
So Taylor had to come back in. Taylor will be taking the load, and this is where you really hope, and I'm sure they did, really hope that general manager and head coach Mark Lamb said, oh, yeah, we got to make sure we got a third goaltender on our taxi squad when we head down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure they do. So I don't know. But I'm sure if you check the game sheet from last night, I don't know if the other goalie was still here and they just wanted to give Taylor a game right off the bat or if they just somebody else. I'm not sure. I didn't check.
I don't know. I don't know what the situation
but
is
that
there.
That was Sunday. No, sorry, Saturday, both the teams played and won.
Yeah.
Last night, both the teams played and won.
Yeah. Yeah, back-to-back victories against the Vancouver Giants. I don't know if the Giants are contenders or pretenders this year, but, you know, they've had strong teams in the past, but the last 2 seasons, I think they were not so good. So hard to say where that puts the Cougars, but you got to play them all. So,
And I was checking the BCHL standings this morning, and there's the one pod. I want to say it's the Vernon pod.
Okay,
all 3 teams are tied with records of 3-2-1. So everybody's got 7 points.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny to look at that. Everybody's played 6 games. Everybody's got 7 points, and their records are exactly the same. And so I'm not too sure whether they threw darts at a dartboard to figure out what order they were going to list them in. I don't know whether they went to goal differential.
Probably goal differential. Yeah. But
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will find something else to talk about besides hockey after 9.
One of the most prolific Indigenous authors in Canada, Lee Miracle, is presenting a poetry workshop as part of the Verses Festival of Words. Join Lee and others from across the province on Thursday, April 29th, to create poetry individually as well as collectively over the course of 2 hours. Registration and full details are available through the festival's website, versesfestival.ca. Collective and individual poetry creation with Lee Miracle, Thursday, April 29th, from 3 to 5 during the Verses Festival of Words.
If your loved one has dementia but can still safely wear a mask, there are a variety of things you can do to help them. Use simple words to explain why people are wearing masks and be prepared to repeat this. Demonstrate putting a mask on and help them adjust to wearing the mask by gradually increasing time spent wearing the mask at home. Also be sure to alleviate stress by identifying yourself and providing reassurance.
In an effort to help local restaurants, cafes, and pubs as they transition to outdoor food services, the City of Prince George is waiving all fees associated with the temporary permitting requirements for the use of outdoor patios. This will be in effect until Monday, April 19th, when it will be reassessed based on provincial guidelines. Local restaurants wanting to establish a temporary patio in front of their businesses are encouraged to email transportationengineering@princegeorge.ca. Applications available at City Hall or through princegeorge.ca.
Canada Post is sending a free prepaid postcard to every Canadian household to help citizens stay connected during the continuation of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's all part of their Right Here, Right Now campaign, established by Canada Post in September to encourage letter writing as a means of connection. 6 different versions of the postcards are being randomly sent to each household, featuring a message of appreciation, love, and thanks. When you receive yours, send it along to a family or friend, free of charge, courtesy of Canada Post.
This is After 9 on Prince George's Community Station, 93.1 CFIS-FM.
Now, before we get back to anything else, I just want to say there was something I noticed when I was doing up our morning citizen stories this morning.
Uh-huh.
One of the stories was about the City Council voting to apply for a grant to help the homeless people in Prince George.
Okay.
Some different stuff. And, of course, a lot of those times you'll get the stories and there'll be a little list saying related stories. Uh-huh. And this is not a list the citizen puts up, of course.
Right.
It's related items, I guess, or related stories. I got a kicker. This is a story about helping the homeless.
Right.
The items they had listed were the latest digital cameras, travel destinations, new smartphones, online courses, luxury cars, and scenic wallpapers.
Well,
I'm not sure.
All of that, would help the homeless, don't you think?
Yeah,
they really need a better smartphone. That's the problem.
I was looking at that and I was going, I don't even know how you guys got any of that.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch. Yeah. The related story there, of course, is the First Avenue development.
Yes.
So I don't know if the funding they've applied for would go towards that or
what exactly. I think that's already basically been taken care of.
Well, sure.
They were talking about their downtown hub.
Oh, okay.
That they were talking about with services, I think, to help the homeless.
Okay, but I believe a lot of those services will be moving to First Avenue once that is developed.
So this might be getting those programs up and running.
Yeah. It'll probably go towards a lot of those services that they'll be providing, I would think.
Yeah. But I know one of the councilors, I can't remember who it was quoted as saying, you know, $2.5 million from the province for something like this is the most money we've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a pretty big grant for the city. And I think it was $100 million pot, if you will, from the federal and provincial governments across the country to help with this.
So here's a kind of a funny story I ran across the other day. I don't watch network television, but quite often I'll see stories on the internet that I click on to find out what's going on. One of the TV series that I kind of like, even though I've actually never watched it, is one called The Masked Singer. Because these people come out to compete being singers, but they're all dressed in costume because they're actually celebrities, right? And the other week, they had to start the season a little differently this year because the host of the show had health issues and couldn't start be on the show. So one of their judges actually took over the host duties. Well, they revealed last week that one of the masked singers was actually the host. That's why he wasn't there hosting at the start of the season, is he was actually competing. So that was kind of funny.
That's also why we found out why he was the host of the show, was because if you were revealed this early, it usually means you got voted off the island, shall we say?
Well, yeah, pretty much. So that I thought that was kind of cute. Yeah. So also in entertainment the last week, I managed to watch a couple of movies, a couple of highly touted movies that one is from, well, it's about 20 years old now that I'd never watched. Okay. And it's a movie that I sort of thought, well, I don't know if I would really care for this movie. Yeah.
If I can find some time, I'll watch. Oh, wait a minute.
but it was amazing. And that is Moulin Rouge.
Ah. Moulin Rouge.
Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor, yes. Yeah. And, right from the get-go. It's very artistic, very splashy, and very visually just stunning.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really creative the way they work in a lot of pop culture and popular songs into the mix, even just snippets or one-liners. And, you just have to be open to something a little different because it's not your standard musical and definitely not your standard movie, although, you know, the plot's fairly standard, yeah. You know, you got your villain, you got your girl and the guy, and the whole triangle that develops from that. So, but the way they did it was spectacular. The other movie that I've been looking forward to seeing just a year or so now since it was released, and that is Knives Out, the murder mystery from 2019.
Okay.
And Daniel Craig plays the detective. So
Daniel Craig is a detective guy.
Wow. Off the start, I'm thinking, oh, this takes place in England. No. Daniel Craig with a Kentucky accent.
Wow.
And they even poke fun at him at the end. There's a bit of a line where one of the other characters gives him heck for his stupid Kentucky. Foghorn, Leghorn accent. So probably the best line in it. But it's a whodunit, and right off quite early in the movie, you actually kind of know whodunit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's twists. And so you're sitting there waiting for the twist, and it's just like, well, okay, I don't get it. And then it comes through at the end. It's like, oh. Yeah. Okay. All right. That was, very well done and great cast with Jamie Lee Curtis and one of my favorites.
The name can't think of right now.
Yeah, name escapes me right now. But Toni Collette, a very, very great character actor. She was spectacular.
Australian?
Could be. Okay. She played the mom in Sixth Sense.
Yeah, when I hear that name.
And also the mom in
Australia.
About a Boy.
Yeah.
And, every time I've seen her on the screen, she's just been spectacular.
Because About a Boy was an English movie, was it not?
Yeah, and
her
the other
being
one,
Australian, the accent would be...
Not too hard to get to, yeah.
No.
Toni Collette, I don't know if people follow movies that much, but there was a lady back in the 70s, 80s, Frances McDormand.
Yes, Fargo.
Yeah. Very similar actors.
Okay.
You know, you're not your leading lady.
Yeah.
Not the person that everybody knows and necessarily even cares about.
Yeah.
But you see them in any role and they just nail it, right? Yeah. Very, very solid character actor.
Yeah. So... With this movie, were there any wood chippers involved?
No.
Okay, good. Of course, that's what a lot of people think of when they think of Fargo, is that's the first thing that comes to mind.
And you were right. Toni Collette, Sydney, New South Wales, Australia is where she was born.
I got one right. Okay, I need to go home now before I screw up.
Yes. Frances McDormand, though, I believe is American.
She's American, yes. I would not be surprised to find out McDormand. That she's from the Midwest somewhere, actually.
She's actually from Illinois. There you go. Gibson City, Illinois.
Holy cow, the kid is on a roll. I'm going to go and buy a lottery ticket.
Alan is just off the charts.
No cheat sheets.
No cheat sheets.
No.
So anyway, the two great movies that if you've never watched them, were well worth checking out, I think.
Okay.
Well, I can watch Nicole, yeah.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman does a great job. And surprisingly, with both of them, not known for their singing, but even Ewan McGregor actually did a fine job of singing in his role.
Well, Nicole Kidman, I believe, had a top 40 hit, I want to say, in at least Britain, doing a remake of Something Stupid with Robbie Williams.
Oh, yeah.
So she can sing.
And you can't go wrong with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. And she's Nicole can always...
Oh, yeah.
Nicole, I'm just going to say this right off the bat, though. Nicole's probably the second best singer in her household, and she probably has no complaints about that.
Well, Nicole Kidman actually has a discography on Wikipedia, so she's obviously done a fair... Well, basically, that's it.
Yeah. But given that she's married to Keith Urban, as I say, I think she would be happy to be called the second best singer in the household. Yeah. But I think we need to take a break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll have something else after 9.
Prince George has 1 kilometer of trail for every year the city has existed as a municipality. Popular trails to navigate include the Cranbrook Hill Greenway, Forest for the Worlds, and the UNBC Connector. As you head out to enjoy the great outdoors on city trails, remember to practice physical distancing, obey trail signs, dress for the weather, watch for natural hazards, and always be alert for wildfires. To find out more about the city's 106 kilometers of trails, visit princegeorge.ca/trails.
In any volunteer organization, each role integrates into each level, function, and activity of the organization. The Vantage Point can help you lay out the optimal volunteer setup for your organization with a special chart. All the people work together because they are passionate about the cause and clear about their role. Each volunteer is part of the team while being clearly accountable to one other person. To download this organizational chart, go to thevantagepoint.ca.
The Rotary Hospice House is in need of knitted slippers for guests. Any knitters willing and able to knit and donate slippers can call Irene at 250-563-2551 for full details. Once again, the Prince George Hospice Society's Rotary Hospice House needs knitted slippers for their guests. More information is available by calling Irene at 250-563-2551.
Forecast from Environment Canada, mainly sunny today, wind coming south 20 this afternoon, a high of 10 with a high UV index. A few clouds tonight with a low of minus 4. For Wednesday, sunny, wind becoming north 20 in the afternoon, a high of 15 with a high UV index.
You're listening to After 9 on Prince George's Community Station, 93.1 CFIS-FM.
And it's been a couple of months since we spoke with Bob Gammer, the Community Relations Manager for the Northern Region of BC Hydro. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Alan. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, and with a beautiful day out there as well.
Yeah, isn't it? A little on the crisp side this morning, but beautiful sunshine, and I'll take that every day.
Oh. Now, one thing I just want to quickly get to before we get into anything else is I was looking at the River Forecast Center this morning, and I imagine you guys at Hydro probably keep a bit of an eye on that as well. And some of the rivers in the north seem to be there seems to be a fair bit of snow still up in the mountains. How does that affect BC Hydro in terms of regulating the different dams and things?
Well, we love snowpack. The more the better, because that melting snow turns into potential energy once it's stored in our reservoirs.
Yeah.
So we want to see good snowpack. And yes, this year, the Peace Region, according to the River Forecast Center, is about 112% of normal, so a little higher than usual. By comparison, not as high as last year. Last year was like the second highest on record.
Wow.
Okay. So big water year last year. But this year's pretty good as well. Yep. And within our own Williston Basin, that's all the water that flows into the Williston Reservoir behind the W.A.C. Bennett Dam.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 102% of normal. So again, a little better than usual, if we want to say better. I mean, don't want to make a judgment about it. It's just more. And so that's positive as well for us. That gives us some certainty about how much energy we have stored in the reservoir, and that then can supply us through the wintertime, which is our peak energy use season.
Now, I'm guessing the next thing you guys will be keeping an eye on then for the snowpack and everything is how fast the temperature goes up, because if all that snow comes down at the same time, it makes a difference.
It really does. We can have localized flooding, and that, of course, raises concerns about downstream of our dams. If we're releasing a lot of water because maybe we have to generate a lot of electricity, but there's a lot of flow from tributaries downstream, then all of that can add up to localized flooding. And so we've got to be mindful of that. The good thing about the BC Hydro system is it's so large and it relies on more than just one reservoir. So, of course, we've got reservoirs on the Columbia River system in the southern part of the province, and we've got power generation in the Bridge River system near Lillooet and also on Vancouver Island. So we can use all of that together. And if we have to back off in one region because maybe it's contributing to flooding, we can ramp it up in other areas, because typically we don't have high water everywhere.
No.
And there are some times it's happened, and even in the last decade. But most of the time, we can rely on this beautiful large system and go hard on one area and lighter on another area and make sure we're keeping things safe.
Now, one question I got to quickly ask, as you were talking about the different areas where you've got reservoirs, I am kind of hoping, if you will, that you don't have any up in the northwest corner up by, say, Atlin.
No, we don't. The community of Atlin has had the First Nation there, the Taku River Tlingit. They have a little hydropower station that helps to power that community, and then we have a diesel station as a backup just in case water supply is low.
Well, it shouldn't be low this year because, again, that River Forecast Center report they looked at this morning said up in the Pacific Northwest, 200% of the usual snowpack.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's there's a lot of water in the Northwest, high snowpacks this year. And, you know, there's not much you can do about it, especially because most rivers are unregulated. That is, that they don't have a dam on them. So you can't control the flow at some point. You just take what Mother Nature gives you as the temperatures warm up and the water comes down.
Yeah. So now, what else is happening at Hydro these days? Like, have you guys got any new programs going on?
Well, just if we could just talk a little bit more about the water side of things. So we're still drawing the reservoir down. When we're talking about Williston Reservoir, just once you're up to about Mackenzie, you're at the south end of the Williston Reservoir, and it goes all the way up to like Fort Ware in the north, and then it comes out at Hudson's Hope, where the Bennett Dam is. So we're still drawing the reservoir down from last year, and we're going to hit bottom probably, and I should say that's the bottom of the curve if you look at it on a chart.
Yeah.
It's not empty. It's just that it's at the low point for the year. And we're going to reach that probably in the next couple of weeks. And then, so we're just getting the very beginning of warmer temperatures. Winter's leaving us, and we're seeing those nice sunny days now. So the snowpack will respond and start melting. We'll see inflows start to increase, and eventually they'll become greater than the discharge at the dam. So inflows will exceed outflow, and then the water starts rising. And we'll see that starting to happen later this month and continuing on probably all the way up until about August. And then the reservoir will be about as high as it'll go as we get into 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, are there any other programs that BC Hydro has got on the go right now? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Alan.
No,
yeah,
no.
There's definitely want to talk about safety. And we're coming out of winter storm season, and so hopefully this is still fresh in people's minds. But we want people to remember that if they see downed power lines, that they should stay back because they pose a danger. And just because it's down on the ground doesn't mean that there's no electricity running through it. And so we're continuing to remind the public about the safety risk if you see a down power line. And we're saying down, danger, and dial. So just a simple alliteration to mm-hmm. keep that in people's minds, dialing 911 as soon as you see a power line. It used to be that we would want you to call BC Hydro first, mm-hmm. but no, we've changed that over the years, and now we just say call 911. 911 will let us know, but just call 911 first so that way emergency response can come out and make the area safe. And certainly, remembering your own kind of situational awareness to remind bystanders around you to stay back from that down line at least 10 meters, which is kind of like the length of a transit bus, because the voltage goes into the ground. And the ground can be energized, trees or poles or any other objects within that radius of 10 meters can also be energized. And so to stay back at least 10 meters, that's basically roughly where that voltage drops to about zero. And so you're safe to stay back at least that far.
Okay, Bob, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about hydro safety after 9.
The 7th annual UNBC Timberwolves Legacy Breakfast is a go. Stanley Cup winning coach John Cooper will headline this year's virtual morning event. The Legacy Breakfast serves as a major fundraiser for UNBC Athletics, with every dollar raised going towards scholarships and bursaries. Tickets are $60 each or $800 for a green and gold corporate package. For tickets, visit unbc.ca/legacy-breakfast. The 7th annual UNBC Timberwolves Legacy Breakfast, 7:30 a.m. Wednesday, May the 5th.
In a year where community organizations are facing uncertainty, the needs are greater than ever to alter programming and amend budgets to accommodate community needs. The Northern Interior Community Association provides support, guidance, and assistance in the community gaming grant application process.
The next round of grants are open to all art and cultural not-for-profits, charities, and community groups until April 30th.
For assistance, contact the Northern Interior Community Association by email to coordinator@northernica.org.
The mausoleum expansion project at Memorial Park Cemetery is complete and open to public. The expansion features include a vaulted timber frame ceiling, large windows offering abundant natural light, and enhanced safety features such as improved lighting and security systems. Niche sales are available to the public. Interested residents can contact the cemetery administration for further information at 250-561-7500 or by emailing cemetery@princegeorge.ca. Further information on details on the mausoleum expansion project can be found at PrinceGeorge.ca.
The Northern Indigenous Arts Council is working with the Diversified Transportation to get local Indigenous artwork on BC Bus North buses.
Artist submissions must include a letter of introduction with Indigenous affiliation, your biography and resume, and up to 3 original artworks or design concepts with a statement for each.
More information is available from the Indigenous Arts Council's Facebook page.
Submission deadline to have your Indigenous artwork considered for BC Bus North buses is 5 p.m. Friday, May 7th.
Keeping you up to date on current news and events in and around Prince George. This is After 9 on 93.1 CFIS FM.
So, Bob, we were talking about what to do if you see a downed power line. And mm-hmm. it doesn't happen all the time, but you still hear about it happening every once in a while. What happens if you're out driving and a line
That's
falls
right.
on your car? I don't think you're supposed to get out, just grab it and throw it off, right?
No, exactly. No. And that's the thing where, like I say, storm season may be coming to an end. And so that kind of a risk where a tree falls on a line and breaks it and knocks it to the ground, less likely as we get into the summer. But, yes, when you're out driving, motor vehicle crashes happen all the time. Large vehicles sometimes trying to fit into tighter spaces than they might otherwise should be, and they knock things over. And so you can knock over, a large truck could knock over a power pole, knock a line to, snag an overhead line, pull the whole thing down. That does happen on a regular basis mm-hmm. around the north. And so sometimes people get power lines falling down and across their vehicles. So number one is we would suggest that you call 911
mm-hmm.
and get emergency services out to keep, start to protect the area from other motorists or pedestrians from getting into that area. Now, what we recommend to the person, if you're in the car and you've got wires on your car, if you can safely drive out from under the power line, so kind of take a moment, just take a deep breath, gather yourself, you know, you're not in an immediate life and limb situation. Look around, and if you can drive out from under those lines safely, then do that.
Yeah.
And so get at least, again, 10 meters. Get that far. Now, do stop. Don't just drive on your merry way. We want you to stop because you need to call 911 and report that incident. You may be the only person around who just has the presence of mind, so we want you to call as well and report that in. Now, if you can't drive the vehicle, let's say somehow you got injured, you know, when the crash happened, or the vehicle for some reason isn't working, or there's other obstacles, so call 911 right away and stay where you are until help arrives. That's pretty fundamental. Now, if there's some kind of secondary emergency, let's say for some reason, again, this is a really small chance, but let's say there's a fire in your vehicle because of this power line situation. That's the only time that we would recommend you get out of the vehicle, and obviously it makes sense.
Yeah.
So then there's some tips about how to get out of the vehicle, because you want to avoid touching the ground and the vehicle at the same time.
Okay.
So you don't want to cause the electricity to run. See, the electricity always wants to go to the ground.
Yeah.
It wants to find a path to the ground. You may have heard that, or you may have heard an electrician talk like that.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to be the path for electricity, because when it runs through your body, you're going to risk electrocution.
Yeah.
So if you must leave the vehicle, then what you have to do is open the door carefully. Don't just step out. You have to basically gather yourself, and standing in the frame of the door of the vehicle, then putting your arms together close at your side, basically hands-free, you jump out of the vehicle, not touching the door, not touching any other part of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Jump free, and you have to keep your feet together. You don't have to jump, you know, it's not like an Olympic competition. You just have to jump safely free, you know, whether that's a foot or two or whatever it is. And make sure nothing else, like your clothing, your hair, if you've got a purse over your shoulder or whatever, you know, you might even want to take those things and anything that's loose and remove it from yourself before you jump out, because you want to eliminate that risk of touching the vehicle when you're touching the ground.
Okay.
So that's critical. So you do that. Once you've jumped out, then you shuffle. You keep your feet together, and you shuffle, not moving your heel past the toe of your foot. So just short shuffling, feet together for 10 meters, and then you're out of that danger zone, and then you're safe. So it sounds a long, elaborate description, but that's how you do it to get safely out. And again, stay calm, you know, take a deep breath, think about your situation, and just do these simple steps, and you're out of there and safe.
And yes, one other thing to very quickly note, because some people might forget about it, take your seatbelt off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've seen people try to get out of a vehicle just to, you know, it's not on fire or anything, but just try to get out of a vehicle, and all of a sudden it's out. Oh, yeah, seatbelt.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you could potentially aggravate an injury or some soreness, from the crash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it really is important to just kind of clear your head about where you're at and what you're doing. And so that way you can think calmly, take a deep breath, just get some oxygen in your brain so you can actually do these things and keep yourself safe.
And I'm guessing if you are in that situation where you have to evacuate the vehicle, I'd be guessing you do that first, then you call 911.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly it. Call 911 once you're safely away. You just don't want to – you cannot take any risks, and you do have to follow these kind of – stages or steps in order to do that safely. So, yeah.
Okay. So, Bob, if people want more information about how to the dangers of down power lines wherever they are or anything with BC Hydro, where do they find it?
So we want you to check out our website, bchydro.com/safety. And okay. There's a large section under that safety heading where it talks about electrical safety in your home, out of your home, when you're driving, how to prepare for emergencies, what kind of safety kit to have on hand, all of those kinds of really helpful tips so that you are prepared and you can have the presence of mind to stay safe if you ever find yourself in an emergency.
Bob Gammer, BC Hydro, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of months.
Thanks very much. Can't wait.
Okay. Tomorrow's show should be fairly full. We've got Norm Coyne in to talk about a king of a film festival, I'll just say. It's all films based on Stephen King works, and of course one of his is The Doctor's Case. We will be having somebody in from the Prince George Public Library to talk about the cognitive care kits they will be getting in very shortly. And then we will be joined by Kaylee from Books and Company to bring us up to date on... They've changed things, people. If you haven't been in there in a while, go in and be prepared for a shock. It has changed a lot. And that's all happening tomorrow after 9.
After 9 is a daily presentation of CFIS-FM. After 9 is produced by Alan Wishart, Reg Fair, and Nathan Gita, with guest producer Neil Godbout of the Prince George Citizen. Additional contributors include CBC News and the National Campus and Community Radio Association. For a rebroadcast of today's program, check out the podcast link at cfisfm.ca. To provide feedback or suggestions for the show, please email cfisfm@yahoo.ca.
You're tuned to Prince George's Community Station, 93.1 CFIS-FM. Proudly supported by community groups like Two Rivers Gallery, where creativity flows in the Civic Plaza.